Okay, I want to rest, so I need questions of different sorts. Was I trained as a classical bassist? My father was a jazz bassist, and when he was 25, he went back to school to learn to read music and use a bow. And those are about the first things he taught me when I was five. So the answer would be very much that I'm trained as a classical bassist, but I probably grew up doing pretty much everything. So, yes. Okay, what he's asking is that when I get up to a certain point, it seems like my thumb gets planted for a while. And the answer is yes, that's right on the harmonics, the octave harmonics. And it's like a second first position. It's like another it's another first position of sorts, like the same way you could... So it's really like the same things that you do right here work exactly just by putting your thumb there instead of the open string. So yeah, that's the easiest way to, and that's still the most secure place to be up there. The middle is pretty dicey in here. It gets easy again at the top relatively. But the middle, there's just no reference point, and so you won't see me stay there for long. What kind of bass do I have? What size is it? This is a bass made in 1769 by Jean-Baptiste Gabrielli. It's a bass that, it's in Florence, Italy. My father tried to buy the bass before I was born. I went and visited it when I was 13, and we purchased it when I was 23 in 1983. And I've been very happy to have it, and it's a real special instrument. The size on basses is very hard to determine, because they're all irregular, especially the older ones. You know, the quote standard 3/4 is a thing that started happening in the beginning of this century. In the early 1900s, there were a lot of basses made of the same size, but before that, there was no standard size. Whereas violins and cellos had a standard size, violas and basses were more bastard instruments. And so you can get all different sizes of instruments. This is generally called a small 3/4. Also, the string length on it is an important factor, and it's just under 41, and most basses are about 41.5. Most basses this small usually have a lot shorter string length. That's probably one of the things that's good about the instrument, is that it's just a little tighter wound with the longer string length. But so that's the type and size of it. What's my E string hooked up to? I got a gizmo here. If I have it hooked off, it's just an E. I could do anything. It's a little bit like I set it to D. I do that a lot. I can open up to any of the notes I want. Here's C, and you can play up there too. So each of the knobs, like I said, it's a C, C-sharp, D, E-flat, or E. And I generally use E or D for most open string music, but occasionally in other music that's more chromatic, there are times that it's nice to have the others. So I just had that added only about a year and a half ago. No, a year ago, I'm sorry, a year ago. So a very recent thing for me. Yes. Do I have an adjustable bridge? Do I keep my strings low to the fingerboard? I would describe the height as very, very medium. To some people, it's a little low. It's the gauge for me is that I can play the instrument hard all over it without buzzes, and I have the fingerboard very carefully dressed. So, and also, for instance, you know, I could make this buzz by using the bow with a lot of pressure right here, which I wouldn't normally do. But it doesn't naturally buzz. That's pretty much the guideline for me. The think there was a time in the, you know, back 10, 20 years ago where a lot of jazz players had them really low. And they're not like that in that there's quite a bit of resistance, actually. But compared to really high strings, they're really low. They're graduated. The top string is a good bit lower than the bottom string. The bottom string, actually, when it's this extension's open, is actually quite high. It needs the room to vibrate. Whereas the top string doesn't need quite as much room. So, especially with steel strings, you know, gut strings have a wider vibration. And I love the sound of gut. They're too difficult to do some of the more complex playing on. But depending on what type of parts you want to play, the gut's a very beautiful sound, and then that definitely will force the strings to be just a taste higher than they would otherwise be. So, do I rotate my sound post? Actually, also, I have adjusters on there, and I adjust them every time I travel. And every couple weeks, usually when I'm at home, I find myself adjusting them. So the answer is yes, I highly recommend adjusters. You know, it doesn't matter whether you find your strings too high or too low. You know, if they're not right, they're not right. And they certainly don't hurt the sound of the instrument, contrary to some opinions. You know, certainly I've got documentation in terms of what they sound like on tape, and it just doesn't, if anything, I like the sound slightly better with the adjusters, but it really hardly makes a difference in the sound. But do I rotate my sound post? I've stopped messing with the sound post. I think that's more of a panacea. Of course, it makes a difference. No, placebo. God, I'm sorry. God. But it makes a difference, but I've had to stop. There are some things you can chase all day that don't really make that much difference. And what I noticed was that when I'd hear it back on tape once again, all these things I thought were all these huge differences I couldn't even hear. So I stopped messing with that. You know, the things you hear when you hear your music back on tape are usually if it's in tune or out of tune, or if it's in time or out of time, things like that. You're much more likely to hear that than these funny differences. I mean, it makes a difference in how the instrument feels, so if it's important to you, you should do it. You know, and God knows there are some people who fuss with million-dollar instruments that get paid a whole lot of money to move those sound posts around, and I don't really go for it. Underneath the instrument, and this is the same for violin, there's a bar that runs from about here to here, and that's the bass bar, and it's on the bass side of the instrument. Same for violin. Now on this side, there's a small dowel that runs like this, right under here. That's the sound post. Those two things really transmit most of the vibrations throughout the instrument, and they are critical, but I've seen a lot of people fuss with sound posts unbelievably and for years upon end. And I guess my point more is that it's diminishing returns. Yes? Yes, I was. The question is, when I was starting, was I often told to play louder with the bow? The answer is yes, and that's a really complex question, because to really get the nicest sounds out of the instrument, you don't want to be breaking it in half. At the same time, you know, to have a really big dynamic range, I think, is really important, and also just to have the strength to really control the instrument in mid and soft volumes, you almost have to be able to play quite loudly. I think it's probably good to try to get a big tone, but not to do it at the cost of, you know, if it means tightening up your hands incredibly most of the time you play, I don't think it's worth it. I think it's more important to keep a little bit of flexibility in both hands, because that comes out in your sound ultimately too, if you've got some flexibility there. If both hands are really stiff, the music sounds stiff, and generally the tone is a little hard. So. Not always, but that's a pretty good rule. Okay, I'm going to play one more little solo number, and then we'll have Russ play a little bit with me.